Welcome back to the live stream here at Microsoft Ignite in New Zealand. I'm Rick Claus on the Azure Compute team, and I'll be your host for this next little segment, about, you know, 5-10 or so minutes in between sessions. But I had someone recommend that I track these two folks down from, I was almost going to say the wrong word here, so I want to make sure it is, on PageProof and pageproof.com, because you guys had a session that was talking about specifically around scaling and scale fails, what happens, and I'd like to know a little bit, first of all, just about yourselves and also about the company you guys have created and the really cool concept for what it does.
Okay.
So PageProof is basically a product that lets you take any artwork or document or video or audio file, put it up into the cloud, invite people via their email address, mm-hmm. and they can come in and put markups and commentary and attach files and things to your work and give you a set of changes back again. So the idea is that they're not editing your file,
okay.
they're just essentially recommending changes. So if it's a PowerPoint presentation, they can say, hey, there's a spelling mistake here, maybe you should change the logo to this, or that graph isn't quite right, and they can give you that feedback. It's just a really great way of giving it.
So it's literally like the magical red pen that you would go in and do markups on stuff for different things. But you mentioned one thing that just kind of dawned on me right now, is it's literally any type of asset that could be in there. So it's not just your traditional, you know, text documents or Word documents.
Yeah.
It literally is any type of asset that's there that can be used. And you're able to share it with other individuals and invite them to be able to work on it. But this environment is entirely in the cloud. It doesn't have any on-premises technology that's being used. How do you handle the security side of this sort of thing, for being able to just pass these assets around to different folks? How do you just determine that?
So the whole product is fully encrypted.
Okay.
It's one of the designs from the very, very start. The first line of code was basically securing the entire thing. So every piece of feedback and asset that you put in there is encrypted on your device before it travels on the internet.
Okay.
So we're not just using HTTPS, I mean, that's there, but we essentially scramble it all up on your device and then we send it into the server. So if anybody even said to us, hey, can you look at this file, mm-hmm. even we can't look at it. We've got full access to to all the files, and we can't touch a thing. It's all encrypted. So that's a pretty big
it's
point.
It's good. It means that the people that you intended to send your work to are only the people that can see your work.
Okay.
And that's quite, you know, a good bit of assurance, especially if you're working on anything commercially sensitive or something not yet launched. You've got only those eyes that you want on the work.
Most excellent.
Yeah.
Now, I forgot to do the full introductions, I guess. Could you do a brief introduction of yourself and how you're involved with the particular project that's going on?
I am Gemma. I am the co-founder with Marcus of PageProof. So we have a small team, small, lean, hardworking team out here on the North Shore of Auckland. Mm-hmm. I've been in software for years, I've been in the creative industry for years, and it was a problem that we saw that needed to be solved, especially with now marketing campaigns often involve such a wide variety of media.
Right.
So, you know, if you're launching a new car, you've got billboards, radio ads, marketing, you know, TVCs, you've got PDFs, you've got sales sheets, you know, all of these sorts of things that get put together. And there was no consistent way to proof it, and no easy way to proof it.
Okay.
So that's what we do with PageProof.
And Marcus, co-collaborator, co-creator of the solution.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm more the technical lead.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've been in software a very long time. And also in the creative industry, I was a photo retoucher for a long time, so I sort of came from that background.
Yeah.
Now, did you both present the session on the scale side of things that was happening yesterday here at Ignite?
We wrote it, and I passed sort of more larger presentation stuff. He's the show pony. So passed it off to Marcus
nice.
To do.
Now, the title of that one there was How to Survive Your First Scale Fail Week.
Yeah.
And so that's an intriguing title. I want to know more about this, because the advantages of being able to go to the cloud environment, besides being extremely agile, not having to worry about big capital outlay and stuff like that, is this concept that you can go off and scale to virtually any size you want to have.
Yeah.
But you come to this particular conference and you pitch this talk to be able to do it, and specifically around your first scale fail week. Tell me a bit about the session that happened, and tell me a bit about the story that you guys, I'm assuming, had with the launch of this product.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So we started off, we launched the product, our our build, if you like, from the very beginning was this is going to be a global product.
Okay.
So we thought, right, we're going to build everything, the code, the databases, the systems for even managing customer support, and everything was going to be designed for scale.
Mm-hmm.
We built the whole thing sitting on top of Microsoft Azure because that looked to us to be the, you know, covered the whole planet in terms of delivery. So
nice.
We're like, great, we can do this.
We thank you for that.
Yeah, we thank you.
And so, you know, you go and you're signing up deals, you're getting sign-ups from all over the world. We're now in 130 countries around the world.
130?
Yeah. 130 countries around
in
the world.
In quite a short space of time. So, Okay. Yeah, we've only been going about a year and a half now.
Yeah.
So. And so did you have what we would call in North America, the Super Bowl moment that happened or something like that? Or was it not as dramatic
no,
as that?
No, it was dramatic. We
it felt it. Dramatic.
Yeah. It was very dramatic. It felt traumatic, perhaps.
Yeah.
So we signed a deal with a customer, and generally with proofing and big customers, they don't just arrive that same day you sign the deal. They mm-hmm. now know they've got the product. They work out how they're going to use it and all that sort of thing. So this is a really big deal. And over the next sort of couple of weeks, we noticed that our usage graphs started sort of rising and then sort of rising and rising, and they weren't going away.
Oh, yeah?
And then we noticed that our database was starting to send us DTU warnings saying, hey, you're starting to get near your DTU limit. Maybe you need to raise your limit, you know, mm-hmm. et cetera. And we were like, what's going on here? So we dug in and had a look and found that we just literally had a big customer signing up, lots of users. They were using the product in a very edge case way,
okay.
which was kind of one that we knew about, but we didn't expect anyone to do. But now we had a large customer doing all of that.
Yeah.
And it was just, it just started loading everything up.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through and used, like, we had this micro deploy strategy where we just put out very small updates of code, sometimes 10 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And we just went through and identified, you know, here's a small thing that might make a difference. We didn't go in and scale up.
Yeah.
Because that's, we think that's actually something you don't want to do.
That's,
okay.
It's the natural response.
Right,
you
right.
kind of go, oh my gosh, crisis, turn up a couple of dials, you know, and make it go away. But you don't actually eliminate it. You just shift the problem to occur even bigger a little bit later.
Okay.
So you've got to kind of get down into the nitty-gritty and start looking at your graphs and start looking at the code. And our approach is very much make little tiny changes mm-hmm. of code. They're easy to test, easy to roll out, but also then going back and reflectively looking at your graphs to work out, well, that little change we just made dipped the graph a little bit. That's pretty good. What else can we do? And so you're constantly scouting around for all these different areas of places that you can make a difference. And all those little tiny slithers of graph sort of going down and down and down, they all add up to a big chunk mm-hmm. eventually. So
now, I'm curious, because you mentioned from a scale perspective, you started off and you're from... You call it the North Shore?
North Shore, over the bridge.
Okay. Here in New Zealand. Did part of that launch also, from a scale perspective, go to the global scale when you started signing with those larger customers, when you started inviting people, where all of a sudden you now had to adapt to how people were marking up and working with your product in foreign languages, in foreign cultures? Was it like a shift that had to take place within your team?
So we from day one, again, we designed everything so it could take all the different character sets and everything. So we kind of, that has never really been a problem for the product. The problem has literally been just volumes of proofers and volumes of, you know, we started with video proofing.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can, you know, send videos out with PageProof. People can use the red pen to mark up directly on the video frames and say, hey, can you move that can from the scene? Maybe we should put a transition in here, et cetera, et cetera. So video is a much, much bigger file. So that kind of, but we were well prepared for that. So.
Okay, good.
So when we were launching video, we were like, okay, we will actually turn the dials up. And the good thing about Azure is you can just say, let's turn the dials up another notch, but you should turn the dials up before you need it.
Oh, okay.
Right, not in the middle of a panic. So you lose your reference point if you do it in the middle of a panic.
Yeah.
You start, you go, cool, we fixed it. Well, you didn't. All you did was make it more powerful. And now you can't measure what your changes are, what impact they're having, because the graphs are now a different scale.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's, you know, always scale up before you need it, but not too far before you need it.
Okay.
Of course.
What about points of presence? Because you mentioned, obviously, the global scale for where it is now with the 38 different regions that we have inside the Azure mm-hmm. family that we have, data centers. Did you start off just in a few regions where your customers happened to be? What was your strategy for when you decided you need to go and make it available in other areas closer to the customers? How did you decide that architecture choice and change? And when did that come into play? out of curiosity.
We planned a lot of this up front.
Okay.
So we already kind of knew which regions that we wanted to have for data storage and things like that. So that was already kind of set in play. So yeah, that's been really good for us. But we haven't kind of had to do too much alteration to our initial scheme. We obviously planned it pretty well.
Good. Yeah. Very good. We've got the next session's going to be coming up here in just a moment for people that are coming here. Closing thoughts, closing comments about where people can find out more information about the solution. And I know they can get your session on demand here on Channel 9. But closing thoughts and comments, perhaps.
Yeah, so I mean, we have a 14-day trial for people to come along and try PageProof out at pageproof.com.
Right.
They can get on and just drag in a document, invite a few people, and just see how the product works.
Okay.
You know, hopefully we won't get too much of a scale fail from that. But, you know, we're very, very proud of the product. We've won awards for the user interface and things, so it's been a great journey for us.
Great. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to stop by the Channel 9 stage. I really appreciate it. Coming up next in the live stream is going to be from Zero to DevOps in a live stream session. We're going to be back afterwards with another interview coming up with Mr. Seth, I do believe. But thanks for joining us.